Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is World Form Zen Fighting Champion John Chung, and you're listening to the AMAA Legends and Pioneers Radio Blog Show with Professor Gary Lee and the Sport Karate Museum Archives, connecting the history one warrior at a time. Enjoy.
Aloha, everyone. Happy New Year. Happy, happy New Year. Here we are, season two. We lasted a year in your homes. Thank you so much for letting us be in your homes for a whole year, talking about sport martial arts in America. The Sport Karate Museum, in fact, honoring the pioneers and legends of martial arts. You know, this is our season two, and I'm so excited to go into season two. There's lots of things we're going to talk about tonight, but I have a very, very special guest. I want to do something for season two to really kick it off, and I've got an old friend, someone who's part of that memory for the journey that is part of my journey, and we're going to bring him on in just a few minutes, but we have the great Art Camacho, the movie director, and what a great, great interview this is going to be. You know, going into 2018, you know, I'm really focused on bringing awareness to not just to sport karate, of course, but to the awareness of what martial arts has done for America. And I say that because in 2020, we're going to be introduced to Karate Do to the Olympics. And I'm so excited about that. I'm excited about the WKA's involvement. I'm excited about the athletes who are training in kata and fighting, the different type of fighting, and what Taekwondo has been introduced to their trembling shock. I'm excited about the fact that the world is going to be mesmerized by kata. Not weapons, not creative, not the things that you see in open tournaments, but true kata with bunkai probably involved. And they'll be judged on their quality and their expertise in perfection of kata technique. That excites me. So that's why I'm excited about going into 2018 and talking about the events that will be helping bring awareness to that. Also bringing awareness always to our pioneers and legends, the gentlemen that were born in the 40s. I say that because, you know, they're in their 70s and their 80s now, and we have to honor them. We have to remember them, and we have to call them up, send them an email if you have a computer, if you're not that. If you're that stage level, who haven't done computers yet, there's still people that I deal with. I still make phone calls and write letters to because they would not go near a computer. But nonetheless, knock on their door, take them out to lunch, buy them dinner. You know, tell a legend or a pioneer that was part of the history of martial arts that you appreciate them. You know, that's what we're going to be about too in 2018. You know, I'm excited also about my next interview that I'll be doing next week, and I want to do a plug for him because he's my dear friend, and my second time I've had him on the show, and that's Mr. Alan Goldberg. But one thing I want to say, that his event, the Action Martial Arts event, is the largest martial art event in the world, probably definitely in the country. And again, I've seen him go from a magazine editor into this super promoter, the P.T. Barnum of martial art events. I'm excited about the fact that this year that we worked so hard, not only Jesse Bowen, Mr. Joe Corley, and now Karen Eden, and we also want to welcome Mrs. Bowen, Hunky Jesse Bowen's wife, who will be doing a spiritual show. We're going to be receiving an award this year at the Action Martial Arts Extravaganza from Mr. Alan Goldberg and his event. That is really, really, really cool. Hunky Jesse Bowen and Mrs. Bowen will be up here to receive the award. And thank you, Alan Goldberg, for recognizing our work and what we've done. Before we go into 2018, also, thank you for all my sponsors from 2017. We appreciate you, and we hope that you come back. And also, we're excited about our new sponsors involved that are going to be going in 2018 and the new people that are stepping up to realize that radio and talk radio is good advertisement dollars. That's right. And if you're interested in getting involved with our show and getting involved with advertising, maybe a tournament or an event you're doing, contact Hunter Jesse Bowen directly at 919-618-8075 or myself at the Sport Karting Museum at 713-483-0476. You can always contact the shoot, ProfessorGaryLee@gmail.com. And remember also that we're really here for information. So if you have something you want to share, we'd love to talk to you about it, and we'd love to share with it on the air. We'd like your input on what we can talk about. This is important to my producer and to myself that if you allow us to come into your home, we want to bring up subjects that we can talk about. And with that said, my special guest tonight, I go back a few years with him. You know, I understand that my show is called Parts Unknown, and I like to share that with the fact that almost everybody I bring on the air, it's someone that I've had a relationship or had a young relationship with back in the day. Maybe not as far back as the 60s, but definitely in the 70s and 80s. And this is just one of these gentlemen that was one of that era. Now, he comes from Kung Fu, and his instructor, of course, is the legendary Eric Lee. And, you know, I could talk about him, but I'm going to bring him on. But I want to say something. I want to read something that he wrote that I put on the marketing page as an introduction to who he was. And for the people who are just coming on and listening who didn't see this, I think this kind of tells you what type of person this is and the man this is and the friend he is to the martial arts community. This is a statement from Mr. Art Camacho. A man and his craft. Art Camacho directing an action sequence with Martin Cove and Richard Guerrico in The Final Payback in 2001. As 2017 comes to an end, you know, I'm so humbled at the many great things that the Lord granted me. Sure, there were many challenges and emotional ups and downs, but I nevertheless stayed the course. I won't wish you all a happy new year. Instead, I'll wish you a challenging new year and the strength to persevere, because from that perseverance, you'll find a lasting happiness. Many have knocked me down, but no one has kept me down. 2018, baby, new challenges, new dreams, and most importantly, family, friends, and faith. Live the dream, a filmmaker's journey. Enjoy this up-close and personal interview with this legendary director of action films and a friend of the martial arts community, protecting the history of that one warrior at a time. This is Art Camacho. Hey, Art, are you there, brother?
I'm here, brother. I'm right here listening to you, man. Great wow, show and great thing you're doing, buddy.
Thank you. Thank you. And like I said, I could just write all kinds of things about you, but I thought that reading something that you quoted, that you wrote from your heart, would really understand people who don't know who you are, what Art Camacho is about. And it shows your humbleness and your purity. And I love that about you. I've always loved that about you, ever since I met you years ago.
No, so, thank you, brother.
Happy New
thank
Year,
you
brother.
So much.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, man. 2018, baby. 2018.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, I'm excited about having you on the air tonight and to share with me. And, again, I'd like to just kind of go back a few years back when you first started martial arts. Maybe I'd like to find out who influenced you first and how did you get started, whatever year that was. Who influenced you first and who started you, and how did you meet Sithu, the great legendary Eric Lee?
Well, actually, there was so many things. And, you know, I always use that term, the perfect storm. Because I was very, very non-athletic as a kid, very unattractive, fat. I mean, everything under the sun, everything going against me.
Really?
And in one period of time, I discovered Bruce Lee, which was phenomenal. I mean, really, I go into my book about that first discovery. But also, that same period of time, I got my butt kicked by gangbangers. About 5-6 guys jumped me one night and really, really messed me up. So,
where did you grow up, Art? What city did you grow up in?
I grew up in a city southeast of Los Angeles. And, and there was a lot of gangs and, you know, Latino gangs at that time. And there still are, obviously. But you know, those two things, discovering Bruce Lee and getting my butt whooped, really changed the trajectory of my life. And unfortunately, in the beginning – I took martial arts because I really wanted to beat the crap out of people. I really did. I had no appreciation for the art form or anything. I just wanted to beat people up because I hated what they did to me. But slowly but gradually, I started evolving. And then I discovered, you know, I ended up discovering a meeting, actually, not discovering, but meeting, who was going to be my mentor, my sifu, everything to me, is Eric Lee. And started training under him, and that was amazing. That was amazing. That changed
what
my whole life.
What year was that? What year was that? What year was that, Eric?
That was in the probably the early 80s. It was in the early 80s
early
when 80s. I started.
Okay.
Yeah. And because
Kung Fu, the
not only
style you ever studied? Was Kung Fu the only
I started in Taekwondo, and at the same time I did amateur boxing. And then I trained a little bit in Filipino Kali, you know, Eskrima.
Oh.
And then from there, Sansu Kung Fu, and then eventually Wong Hap Kuen Do, which became my home. Because that's basically my foundation, is Wong Hap Kuen Do. I consider that my style. Even though I've trained in various styles, I'm very eclectic in what I do, but that is my home. That is my system.
Yes. Well, you know what? People don't realize that you were a fighter. I researched a lot of stuff about you when I realized I had the privilege and honor to interview you, and that I had a couple of shots of you, pictures. I should have posted them where you're actually in the ring and having your hands raised. You actually a fighter. I mean, that was pretty cool.
It was a lot of point fighting and barely, you know, barely dawdled into the fighting aspects, because once I started fighting, I made the transition immediately to films. And as you know, if you're going to be fighting, you got to be really dedicated to fighting. So I never really pursued it as much as I did the movies, because with movies, it was initially doing stunts. And then, you know, within a year or two, I started doing choreography, and within 2 years started directing films.
Let's talk about that. Yeah, you started did you actually start as a stuntman first or in the choreography first?
Believe it or not,
What was your first film that you did that you stunt work in?
The first film that I did doing stunts on was, I think it was Ring of Fire with Don Wilson. That was really
great
amazing.
Don Wilson, that's cool.
We're
gonna talk about him in a minute. I got him on the list.
Yeah.
I shouldn't talk about because he's such a cool guy. Okay, so that was your first film. You went from stuntman down to choreography. I mean, I guess the directors realized you had a talent to make things happen and block and everything. And that's one thing I want to share with people who are listening for the first time. Back in the day, back when the Hal Needham and in the old days, they actually made contact.
Those guys,
period of time that transferred and utilized the blocking. Explain to them what blocking is and that transformation.
Yeah, you know, the funny thing is that once you get into movies, you know, whether it's stunts or action acting or choreography, you start to understand that it's zero to do with fighting or martial arts. You're dancing.
Okay.
It's more to do with rhythm and stuff like that. And that's why some of the greatest screenwriters were great kata masters, whether it's Japanese, Chinese, doesn't matter. Because it's a dance, it's a ritual, and I'm serious.
Yeah.
You know, that's the biggest challenge that I see sometimes, because I've trained some MMA fighters, I've worked with MMA fighters for film, not in MMA fighting, but for film, when they make the transition. And it's funny, because that's the first thing I tell them, guys, we're not fighting, we're dancing here, you know. And it's amazing because, you know, let's say my biggest influence in my life, I guess one of them is Bruce Lee. If you look at him, if you look at what he did on film, it's just amazing. He was just so charismatic and so precise and so explosive in his movements.
I gotta say this. You know, I see my vision sometimes when I'm up in my world, as I am sometimes. My vision of Art Camacho is sitting in this small room with his projector, and he's watching hundreds of films and seeing how he can just change and modulate and make it just better and create. And you know what? I saw that. I saw that not only in the personal films I've watched and the incredible stuff he's done, but when we did the Martin Jerry roast, God bless you.
Yes.
And you put together Mark's film, and that showed me not only your creativity and your love for a friend, but how you blended that. And I said to myself, "That's you have a little room, a little man cave that you go to."
I do. I do. I'm always 24/7. I mean, that's my homework.
Okay.
That's my homework. I literally take. You know what I do is I sit there and I take the volume off because the music and the volume, sound effects kind of distort your reality. So I just take it off and watch them without any sound, and I see the movement. I see, you know, how they covered it. I'm a high school dropout, and that's my training. That's my schooling, is watching films and watching great martial artists. You know, not only from films but also watching some of this old footage whenever I've had the chance to see any of the old competitions that somebody recorded on their Super 8 or High 8, whatever, you know, because you learn so much by seeing these great fighters. I just saw recently a fight with Jeff Smith. Phenomenal. I love it. You know, Bill Wallace, Jeff Smith, Joe Lewis, my God, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I got to ask you a hardcore question because this is parts unknown. I got to ask you, what was your hardest movie? I know all the movies are hard, not just through budgeting, not just through directing, not just through making everything happen perfect for the producer. But I'm asking you, what was your hardest movie you had to do, Art? What was the one that was the most challenging for you?
I think, there were these two. One, excuse me, as a action fight choreographer, was a film I did years ago with Steven Seagal. And not because it was hard per se, but because of the political challenges in the film.
Okay.
Because the director wanted a Chinese style. He wanted Hong Kong style of film, which is fine. You know, the wires and the flying, you know, the crouching tiger kind of stuff.
Right.
And the producers hired Steven Seagal. So they're saying, well, you know, Steven Seagal doesn't do that, but the director wants this. And so they hired me after they had hired a very, very renowned, legendary fight choreographer from Hong Kong. So I asked them, I said, if you got this guy on board, why do you want me? You know? And the producers, this was Sony Pictures Direct, and they said, look, Art, we need you to be the action coordinator, to oversee all the action in the film. Even though we have a stunt coordinator from Germany, we have a fight choreographer from Hong Kong, we want you to be, you know, the final word on this. And so it was challenging because I had to, you know, really balance out everything and trying to work with all these departments.
Sure.
Because normally when I do my films, I'm the last say. I answer to no one but myself when I'm doing my own films. But on this, it was really going. And then on top of that, working with Steven Seagal, not so much because, I mean, him and I got along great. Because honestly, I really, you know, went in there admiring him not only on film but also as an Aikido master, because he's phenomenal. He really, really knows.
Well, see, that's what I want to ask you. I want to ask you a hardcore question, and people want to know. They want to know because they hear rumors.
Yeah.
They don't know. They don't know the person. Mm-hmm. How good
is
Steven Seagal outside the film?
In Aikido,
as far as an Aikido
I
can only
speak from Aikido. As an Aikido master, he is phenomenal. I mean, he has so much precision, so much strength. I really, really am so blown away by that. Again, when I say that, I qualify everything because only someone who's fought, let's say whether it's Joe Lewis or Don Wilson, knows what it is to fight. Most of the guys on film are martial artists. They're masters in their own art, but they're not fighters per se, you know? But but as an Aikido master, Steven Seagal is phenomenal. And he showed me a lot of respect, and the respect was mutual. Number one, I was like a kid in a candy store. Man, I used to watch all these Steven Seagal films, and here I am working with him. That was like a dream come true. Same thing when I recently worked with Dolph Lundgren, another great martial arts and a great actor and a great gentleman. Very respectful.
Do you find out that when people mix what they do in their personal life with what they're known as in martial arts, and the mixture's there, and people make a decision. You see how it intermixes? Because people get this bad vibe sometimes with Mr. Seagal, but yet I know he's a great martial artist, and you confirmed he's a great martial artist, but yet his personal things that he does, people assume what he is. The same thing with Mr. Laughlin. Do He was a great Kyokushin Kai fighter. You know, I realized, he was a great Kyokushin Kai fighter, man. He was a black belt in Kyokushin Kai under Matsuo Yamas.
Absolutely.
That's the reason why he's a great. But was he easy to work with, too? Or was,
he was great.
What was he
like? He was phenomenal. And here's the thing, you know, I'll be honest with you. Like, when I went to work with Steven Seagal, I had met him a few times prior in social situations. But like, for instance, right now I'm also training under Sifu Samuel Kwok in Wing Chun. So Samuel Kwok, I don't call him Samuel. I don't call him Mr. Kwok. I call him Sifu. So when I went up to Steven Seagal when I was working with him, I thought to myself, you know what? I've heard the stories to ego and all this stuff, but that's irrelevant. I'm here to do a job, and I admire and respect the man. So my first words to him were, you know, Sensei, it's a great honor to work with you. And right away, when he heard the term Sensei, we made that connection as martial artists. So we got along great. We got along great. I had no issues at all whatsoever. I can't speak for anyone else. I speak for myself. Same thing with Dolph Lundgren, because I admire these guys. And I'm not there to be buddies. I'm not there to try to brown nose and kiss people butts. I'm here to respect them and respect my craft, you know?
Sure.
And that's why very rarely have I not gotten along with anybody. I mean, as a matter of fact, the Machado brothers, right? The Machado.
Right.
Regan, Hegan Machado. Good friend of mine. He's like my brother, man. And this guy is funnier than heck. And I mean, he could twist me like a pretzel if he wanted to. But, you know, we love each other and we respect each other. And that's what I try to do in everything I've done. When there's that martial arts bond, I try to always keep that bond there and that respect. You know, I learned a lot of that from my Sifu Eric Lee. He taught me a lot of respect.
I think it's a special gift you have, Art. I mean, it's from day one, from years back, you've always been a blessed friend of mine way before the Sport Card Museum and all the other things that we've done and what you've done with movies. But I got to go back to one Kung Fu. I love talking about Kung Fu. People don't realize that, you know, I have Sea Lam Pai background and I understand a lot about Kung Fu. When I first came to Houston, I hung out with Jeff Bolt, Nick Gracian, and Matt Mitchell Wong and Jimmy Wing. You know, yes, I'm a... Victor Chin was my personal friend. God bless him. Rest in peace. So anyway, my point is, and Wing Chun, and I know this because I used to hang out after the Bel Air Mall would close. It was a Chinese mall. They would close the mall and then open up only to the Wing Chun practitioners. And I would go up there, and most of these guys would be, seriously, 50, 60, 70, even 80 years old, and they would do nothing but Chi Sao. Nothing but sticky hands.
Right.
Here's my question. Mr. Kwok, who I've done research on him too, an amazing man. I know he trains a lot of people in the very humble gentleman. What's his lineage? Does he come from Yip Man or William Chung?
Yeah.
Or where's his lineage come
from? Yeah, no, Ip Chung. He trained with Yip Man's son, Ip Chung. Phenomenal. I'm telling you, one thing that I he actually quoted me because, like I told you, I was a boxer and martial arts most of my life. And when I started training with Sifu Samuel Kwok, he showed me this kind of a corkscrew kind of punch. I could not believe how much power I generated, you know, and I improved on my punching abilities just having trained with him a short while. I was so blown away because, you know, I was pretty strong. I hit pretty hard, but man, my power and impact increased so much. And just, you know, using the principles that he
impresses
teaching
me with Wing Chun to this day. Impresses me. I mean, really impresses me. And that's Mr. Goldberg. Mr. Goldberg is
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And Wing Chun, he is very, very dangerous, very, very proficient. I got to bring this up, and I'm really proud of this. I'm really proud of this because of you, and I'm proud of you because you're one of the you're my first show this season, and I'm excited about saying this. You are actually one of the founding members and directors of the Martial Art History Museum under Mr. Michael Matsuda, and you're also an ambassador for the Sport Karate Museum, And you actually do both. And I just want to commend you on your work that you've done with the Martial Arts History Museum and taking it where it's gone to and where it's going, and what Mr. Masuda has done with that. And also your help and your encouragement, what I've done with just the sport karate community, which is a totally separate group. How do you balance the both? I mean, I know how you do it, but to my listeners, it makes a very special person to do what you've done, to be able to balance it and then do who you are in the community. I really admire that part.
You know what? I mean, honestly, I mean, apart from my faith in my Lord, the martial arts has been the biggest thing spiritually, mentally, physically in my life. I am defined by the. I define myself by the martial arts, and by that I mean not only the physical, the techniques, all that stuff. That's good, but it's almost irrelevant. It's what's beneath all that. It's the character of the man that I become because of the martial arts. And you know, it's funny. It wasn't until the last few years of my life that I started having. I had an epiphany. I really thought, you know, my mission in life and my goals and my dreams are to make movies and blah, blah, blah. But but it dawned on me, the more I made appearances, the more films I put out there, and because, you know, I travel a lot, and the effect that these films or these martial arts pieces and choreography or directing or whatever have on people, it changes people's lives, not me. But the films themselves, the medium, really changes people's lives. Just like, you know, movies changed my life. And so that's why when we started this whole thing with the Martial Arts History Museum, you were there at our first event in Vegas. That was
I was
the
there for the
beginning.
First four. The first four. Yeah.
Star Bash. Yeah, but Star
yeah,
Bash.
Yeah, oh, Star
that?
Bash. Yeah, that was incredible. Yeah.
So, Gary, I mean, good, better, and different. I mean, you know, the tournament actually could have been stronger, but let me ask you this. From your perspective, brother, who else has ever had a tiger, monkeys, helicopter shooting a film and all in one place and shoot and a karate?
Nobody. That Starbash was not only a fun tournament for me, but I got to tell a story to my listeners, and it's just a fun story, and I love talking about this. We flew out to Vegas, and that was at the beautiful they tore it down now. The Stardust Hotel. But, you know, Dean Martin performed there, and at that weekend, yeah. Harvey Korman and Tim Conway was on the bill, okay? I was actually friends with those guys. I had met Carol Burnett years ago, and so it was really a joy going to Star Bash. And I hung out with Howard before we lost Howard, you know, Mr. Jackson. And,
yes.
And it was a lot of fun. Yes. And hanging out with Blinky Rodriguez and Lily. We lost Lily, and Lily was there. But here's my most fun experience. I'm hanging out with Hiro Tagata, okay, from Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
Hiro,
uh-huh.
He had his boot there. And we realized that the storm had come and shut down the highway from L.A.
Yep.
to Las Vegas. And everybody for the tournament, they were stuck on the highway. So there was a time gap that all these people were there to film the movie and be your extras and also somebody for the tournament, but there was nothing for anybody to do. And you were going frantic, I know, and a lot of people were going frantic. And Hiro and I were just kind of watching things. And then someone came in and said, well, we got an idea. And Art wants to speak with you. So I spoke with you, and he mentioned about the white tiger. And I said, I'll get up on stage with him. And I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know what I was doing. I had no idea. All I remember was the trainer said, don't move fast and just go on your instinct that it's just a big cat. I remember holding the cat in my arms and feeding it a bottle and making me, one in the front had to be, you know, it was very, but I did that for you, Art. I did that because you needed
time. Oh,
man,
I love you for it.
For your film. And Cynthia and Don and Al and all those great people that were filming the Sci-Fi Fighter, the end of it. That was a lot of fun. God bless you. And Starbucks was great. That event that Mr. Masuda put on that year was great, too. It was a It was something I really remember.
Well, you know what? I put on that event. I put on the whole thing. It was all came out of my pocket,
yes.
The dinner, everything.
Oh, wow.
And
God bless you, man. I remember you took care of Gary Lee. God bless you, and you believed
in
what I was doing. And, by saying that, being part of the Sport Karate Museum and the history of sport karate, how do you feel that's important? I mean, I know that you're an ambassador, so go ahead.
No, but that is extremely important because you know what? As a matter of fact, something recently, how we use the social media now, we communicate with everybody
yeah.
around the world, which is phenomenal. But Jeff Smith recently wrote something very nice to me on my Facebook page, and it meant so. I don't even think he realizes how much it meant because as a kid. I remember.
He's probably listening to the show. He listens to my show all the time.
I'm telling you, brother. As a kid, I remember seeing him in all these magazines and Black Belt and stuff like that. And I think he was the first recipient of the Bruce Lee Award, way back when. And,
yes.
And for someone like that, oh my God, I'm like a little kid. I get giddy. I mean, even years ago when I had the privilege and the extreme honor of breaking Joe Louis in a film, and then one day we invited me to his school, and we were just doing some training. So here I was training under Joe Louis. Here I am getting a nice message from Jeff Smith. Here I am, when I run into Bill Wallace. Like, wow, I'm a little kid. I'm telling you, brother, I'm a little kid. These people in sport karate have affected change in so many people, including myself. And it's so important.
Let me say this off the bat. This is my show, so I'm going to say this to you. I love you, Art. I love you. And I'm going to tell you the reason why. Jeff Smith has changed my life since I started this idea with the Sport Karate Museum. He actually gave me his red and blue stripe, Stars and Stripes gi that he wore.
Wow.
And he autographed
wow.
it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I idolized him, and I still do. He's one of my heroes.
Oh, yeah.
And for you to talk about him that way, I understand. I understand. I called him on New Year's Day just because I love the fact that I can call up these heroes that I had as a kid,
yeah.
like you, and I can say,
yeah.
look, I care about you, and Happy New Year, and I appreciate all you do and what you've done for the sport karate.
Oh.
And that hearing that from you, being who you are and your position and your status in the community, you don't know what that means to me to hear you say that.
Oh,
Art.
Wow.
Brother. We're so lucky, you and I. And you mentioned
yeah.
something else that's very important. To have a higher power to believe in, to understand that everything that we do is under the grace of that higher power. And when we learn to give that to someone and to someone that we believe in that faith, then it gives us more strength. It gives us more ability to
Absolutely.
Do things for other people. And the most important thing
Absolutely.
I know about Art Camacho that I've always felt from you is that you're passionate about what you do. And you do that because you like caring and doing for other people. And I say that because I know that. I love you, Art Camacho, and I want to say that.
Thank you,
bro. So,
and the feeling you know, Gary, and here's the thing. I mean it. I mean it from the bottom of my heart. And here's the thing about the faith. I'll be honest with you. I don't agree, and I don't like these people who give happy talk. Oh, be positive, be strong. All that, excuse my language, but it's bullshit. It's all bullshit. The reality is that life is so challenging. Life is never going to be one happy whatever. It's always going to be challenging. But because of our faith and because of our passion, we have to overcome it because that's what makes us who we are as human beings. And that's the connection we have is that we overcome challenges and we still come out good, humble people, as opposed to being arrogant or bitter. I'm not bitter. I've had so many bad things happen to me in my life. But you know what? So what? It made me what I am today. And so I'm appreciative for the bad things as well as the good things in life, And it's just not happy talk. When people say happy to them, when they get all this happy talk kind of stuff, it gets under my skin because that's a lie. because I think it's a big lie. Because I think just like in relationships, love is a hard thing. Love is work. Passion is work.
Well, you know that's good because that's work ethics, and I know your work ethics are very high. I'm gonna end this segment with a question I want to ask you, and I'm gonna take my short break and then come back and put the legend's name in. But here's the end of the segment question: if someone is listening to the show right now, and they're a great martial artist, they might have done competition, they may have done a couple of stunt movies or been in a couple of movies. What do you suggest to them to get their feet wet, to go to Hollywood, to go to New York, to get involved with a troupe or a group? I mean, what's your suggestion to them to take that next step level, to be in front of a director like an Art Camacho or someone who can make a difference in their lives?
Well, the first thing is perfect your craft. Before you go anywhere, perfect your craft. Not as a martial artist, but as a screen fighter. I mean, you know, most people that I see, most biggest people send me, they're throwing these beautiful kicks and these punches and all that stuff, and that's all great. But 90% of the time, you're going to be on the receiving end of those when you're starting out. So learn how to screen fight. Learn how to take the hits. How do I do that? You either, you know, go to seminars that I'll throw or anybody who has legitimacy in the industry. Because there are people who teach stunt fighting out there, but they've never done films. So how can they teach, you know? So with me, it's like go to either one of my seminars or seminars by reputable stuntmen, fight choreographers who are actually working in the industry. So they will teach you the real deal, you know. And number two, once you perfect your craft, network like crazy. Start doing films, start doing short films, anything. Just put yourself on tape. Find tape. That's the biggest thing right now. It's so easy to do. Get your iPhone. Record yourself, you know?
You know, it's fun, and this is fun. I sent you a couple years ago without realizing it. People filmed me doing the Astroworld shows. I'm talking about back in the 70s.
And I remember that. It was cool watching it.
It is funny watching you do that. But, you know, I appreciate that answer because I know there's people out there that want to become the next – well, you know, I'm going to say the next Chuck Norris or the next Bruce Lee or the next Jean-Claude Van Damme. And they got dreams.
Right.
And we're talking to one of the great directors, I believe, of our time in martial arts, in action films, and it's you. So I appreciate your opinion and what you said, and especially to people who are listening. You know, I'm going to take a short break here. Stay on the line. And we're going to come back and play the Legends Name Game, where I'm going to hit you with some names. And we're going to get to talk about them with people that we know and people that have influenced your life, okay?
Nice. Excellent.
Okay, I'll be right back. Excellent. Hey, ladies and gentlemen and fans of Sport Karate, I'm with the great movie director and dear friend of the history of martial arts, Mr. Art Camacho, and we're going to be right back with him. There's a couple of things I'd like to mention before we come back to the Legends Name Game. Our heart of our show is based upon the book, The Who's Who in the Martial Arts. This is a book that was developed in the 80s by a gentleman named Dale Brooks and Mr. McClutchin. And I know that right now they're looking and watching Mr. Bowen, Auntie Jesse Bowen, take it to that next level. When they created it, a small book, in fact, I was in the first one, the small brown, white, hardback covered book. And it was just small, maybe an inch thick. And it was pretty cool. It had the history of various martial artists around the country in America that they worked to put in. Well, years later, Auntie Jesse Bowen is taking it again to the next level. Not only do you are in the book in the Who's Who in the Martial Arts, you also receive a Living Legends Award recognized at the Living Legends Banquet. Last year it was in Washington, D.C., where they honored Master Jun Ri. You're allowed to purchase a beautiful ring that shows that you're part of the Who's Who in the Martial Arts, and also just the credibility that you're involved with so many people that help create martial arts in America. Again, this is not a me type book. This is not where you talk about all your wins and all your glorifications, but it just talks about your history. We want to hear your story, and it's in the third edition. So for more information about the book, if you want it, you can go to Amazon.com, or you can go to Barnes & Noble, or you can go to our Frenchies at Century Martial Arts and ask for the Who's Who in Martial Art book, or you call directly, not to Jesse Bowen, at 919-618-8075. And don't forget, while you're on Amazon.com, look up the Amazon, one of the best-selling books that we've had for the past 3 years, Memoirs of American Samurai. And that's a tough story of the Sport Club Museum and the journey to be able to be who it is and what it is today. And I'm very excited to say this, that Memoirs of American Samurai is being turned into a movie that we've actually signed a deal. That's right. And who do we have writing the basic character of the samurai? None other than our sponsor and dear friend, Mr. Dana Abbott. That's right, Mr. Dana Abbott from Samurai Sports. He's working on the character as we speak right now, the Ronin Samurai character from American Samurai, Tales of American Samurai. Wow. Look forward to that and more information on that as we get closer and closer to that information and on the book of Memoirs of American Samurai. More information, please go to Amazon.com and just look up Memories of American Samurai. Well, I'm going to come back with my guest, Mr. Art Camacho, and play the game that we created in 2017 called the Legends Name Game. This is where I say a name, and my guest has a response of 2 minutes to talk about what that person is and who that person is in their life, how they influenced them, and what they've done for the martial arts. Hey, Art, are you there, brother?
I'm right here, brother.
Okay, super. Well, this is a fun part for me. I invented this back in the beginning part of the show, and I created it like a fight. In other words, you got 2 minutes to talk about the person I throw at you. I can tell my listeners that we have not rehearsed this, so this is a fresh, right off the mouth voice of between two friends, and I'm going to shoot some names at you. And some of them we know together, some of them I don't think I know, but I think that you definitely know them. So if you don't, just tell me. So here we go. You ready to play the Legends Name Game?
Let's try it, man. I'm brain dead, but try it anyway.
Okay. Eric Lee.
Eric Lee. What can I say about Eric Lee? Well, you know what? I could say it very simple. Without Eric Lee, there is no Art Camacho. He's a mentor, my sifu, a friend, a brother, one of the kindest people I know, and one of the most phenomenal competitors of his time. The king of kata. His bow looks so he's so fast and explosive, it looks unreal. It looks like it's animated, like it's sped up. I've never seen anything like that in my life. Phenomenal.
Remember when we roasted him?
Yes.
That was so
amazing.
Much fun.
It was. I mean, you did those things right. You did those things really good, Gary. I really,
Mr. Hall.
I'm serious, and I know we're talking about Eric Lee, but talking about you've done so much for the martial arts, brother, through the roast and through the History Museum and now your blog. No, man, I that's what I told you, and I say that not with false humility, but I'm being very honest with you. I mean, I've been very lucky to work in films and stuff like that, but you're making history and preserving history, and that's phenomenal. Kudos, brother.
Thank you,
kudos,
Art.
Seriously.
It means a lot coming from you because you are history. And people 20 years from now are not going to be watching your films. Seriously, honestly, I mean, this is something that's important. Because people like yourself, Mr. Masuda, and myself, Alan Goldberg, who really care, Joe Corley, who really care about the history, they'll be talking about us 20 years from now and saying thank you. I know they will. It's okay, though, because I don't look for glory right now. I don't care about that. All I care about is preserving the history of the pioneers and legends.
Yes.
And letting people understand that it's important. And Eric Lee is one of those people that we talk about it now, but imagine what's going to happen 20 years from now. People talking about Master Lee and what he's done and who he is. Eric Lee, God bless you, Eric. I hope you're listening. And if you are, Art Camacho and Gary Lee loves you with all our heart. And I cherish everything that you've given me, from his kung fu top to his sword, and just the joy that he's given me through the years. And I'm so proud that you're his student. Okay, I got another one for you, another dear friend of the history, someone that amazed me when he was fighting. And that's our dear friend Don Wilson.
Oh, man. Oh, man. I'll say one thing negative about Don. Because of him, I have laugh lines. We have so much fun when we work together. I swear to you, it is not like going to work. It's like going to get paid to hang out with a friend. I think I've done 25 films with him. I've worked with him since the, maybe 91, I think. Phenomenal, number one, phenomenal kickboxer and a real legend, a true legend. I mean, his record is phenomenal.
But, people don't realize, Art, people don't realize how dangerous Don was. I mean, he won, four or five weight divisions. Come on, man. Think about it.
11 world titles.
Before that, he was a kung fu point fighter. Yeah. Him and his brother, James Wilson, who is another phenomenal entrepreneur, they kind of, did all the kung fu tournaments down in Florida. People don't realize that they turned out to be great, people like John Wilson. They all started, believe it or not, in sport karate. I mean, it was kind of cool when you think about it.
That's true.
So Don Wilson, God bless Don. I love what he does and who he is and what he's done for the sport. And I know he's a personal friend of yours.
And the thing is, with Don, he is the real deal. That's what I was telling you before about fighter versus martial artist. Don is the real deal. He is a fighter. He's a martial artist. And just amazing human being. One of the nicest guys. Super. I mean, one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. Seriously. I mean, I've been privileged and honored to know him.
I want to plug your dear friend and someone who's really changing history and making things happen for the history of martial arts, and that's Mr. Michael Masuda. Talk about Michael a little bit.
I think with Michael, I think one word is, a few words. One is determination, passion, and selflessness. I mean, when I met him, he had this dream about this museum. And that's what I was telling you before. Starbash was kind of the beginning because he had the Hall of Fame awards and all that stuff. But when I saw him, when I met him, I told him, I said, do you want to just keep doing this at like Dragon Fest or do you want to, take it next level? And that's when he came and helped me out with Starbash. And in return, I said, I'll throw a dinner. Let's throw that main dinner for, I'll give some awards out, but primarily for the Martial Arts Museum. And that's what started the whole thing, But Michael was doing really well. He was working for a big corporation, making really good money, and he gave that all up for the museum to really pursue the museum. I am dead serious. I really, really admire that somebody really just puts out there, just like yourself. You go out there and you give it. You give it your all.
I understand the sacrifice that he's done. I understand the sacrifice he's done, and I've been watching through the years. The accomplishments of what all you guys have done to bring history of the culture. And that's really important to keep the culture involved, where it came from in Chinese, Japanese, Okinawan, and Korean history. And that's really got to understand is that we have two separate entities, the Sport Karate Museum and the Martial Art History Museum, which is the culture of the museum. And we share both.
Right.
But we're two separate.
Yeah.
And the neat thing about it I like what Michael's doing because he puts the history in your face about where it came from. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
I think that's good.
Yeah.
So,
absolutely.
Super. Yes, sir.
Let me just say this real quick is that as much as I love and I admire all these current MMA champs and from Randy Couture to Rampage, who are friends of mine, and I've worked with them.
Yes.
But one thing that I think that they have, that the true champions have, but I think overall in the sport is missing, is that in martial arts you have senseis and sifus. In MMA you have coaches, and there's a difference. A coach coaches you in the physical aspects of a fighting or whatever, whereas a sifu and a sensei guides you. Becomes, it's like your father. So there's
good
just
point.
A difference.
Yeah.
And I point that out because I really admire everything. I admire MMA, I admire martial arts, but I really am blessed and I feel lucky that I have sifus, So, next.
Okay. If I mention, I'm going to say a group of guys, and this is a part unknown because you didn't expect this, we didn't rehearse this. So I'm going to say a group of guys, they all started in sport karate. Here we go. You ready? James Liu,
yeah.
Jeff Amada, Hirokoda, John Valera, Ron Shurls. What do you think about those guys?
Amazing.
Particularly James Liu. James Liu, what a character. What a great guy.
Yeah. He's a character. Well, here's the thing. And nothing, it's not a put down because, number one, I admire the heck out of all these guys. But
Right. Let's
say, for instance, when they made the transition to film, they were so lucky because they were around at the right place at the right time. Because a lot of them started in the 70s when there was no martial artists doing films. There was a lot of stuntmen doing stunt fights. But James Liu, Jeff Amada, they were the early pioneers. And they got so – number one, they were talented as all heck. Number one, they were talented.
Do you remember his broadsword? Remember James?
Yes.
When he did the broadsword?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
But again, in films, they started at the right time because that's why they're so successful. I mean, part of it because they are skill level, yes. But the other part was because this part is networking. Film is networking. And they came in at the right time. They were so lucky to that era. I mean, so many people came from that era. I mean, look at Douglas Wong, Gerald Okamura, all those people in films, you know, because
of Kung Fu Street. Gerald Okamura, one of the baddest guys on film, but I know one of the nicest guys. Tell me about Gerald Okamura.
Oh, my God. My God. Love him to death. As a matter of fact, when I directed my first film, I specifically, they wanted to give me a lot of Asian stars for this one role. And I persisted and pushed for him to have one of my leading roles in one of my first films as a director. I love him to death. Very good guy.
And he's real martial arts. And he came from Kung Fu Sansu, correct? Kung Fu Sansu.
Yes.
That's what it's called?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. I remember that. The guy who created that and franchised that throughout California and stuff.
Yeah. Jimmy Woo.
Absolutely. Now, Cynthia Rothrock. Tell me about Cynthia.
My God. Wow. That's all literally, wow. Number one, she's such a beautiful, beautiful lady. And I can say that because I'm a damn Mexican. but she's a beautiful lady. But she's really
beautiful heart.
But really, really, she's incredible. Such a fun person. Very humble, very nice, and amazing martial artist. I mean, I've known her professionally and personally for a lot of years, and she's just, my God, incredible. I mean, there's Cynthia Rothrock. I mean, literally, she is just amazing. She's in a league of her own. She really is.
You know,
really is.
Rio Fong's tournament, Ron Marchini's tournament back in the 80s.
Yeah.
I was actually was with her when she won her first grand championship in kata.
Wow.
And she won it
really?
She won it with the hook sword.
Oh, my God.
I took third place to her and John Fernet. Do you remember John Fernet from Canada?
Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely.
And that was his first American tournament, and that was Cynthia's first kata championship, grand championship.
Wow.
And she won with a double hook sword. Remember when she would let go of them and work two as one? It was beautiful.
Yes.
And that's a long time ago in a galaxy far away, back in 1982.
Man. I'll tell you, I was.
Now, you traveled around the world. Where's the next place that you'd like to film, or some place that you'd like to do an Art Camacho film that's other than the United States?
Actually, right now, we're planning on the next film. I mean, I've done in this last 2 years, I've done three films in Mexico, one in Cancun and two right across the border in Tijuana, Mexico. It's been amazing.
Is that easier or tougher? Easy as hell.
I mean, we over here, the last film I shot, I directed, probably the worst experience I ever had shooting here in Los Angeles, because they literally, unless you're Fox Studios or Warner Brothers or whatever, they do not want you to make films here.
Yeah,
permits, and I mean, we got shut down. I mean, it was crazy. It was just ridiculous. Over there, I'm telling you, man, I was, like, shocked at how easy it was. And we were safe, obviously. I'm very, very safe when it comes to action. But and then all the people, have this misconception that people are getting shot every day. And that's not the truth. The truth is, just like with every other major city, people, there's crime everywhere in the United States, every country. But I've never felt safer than I felt over there. And it was easy to shoot.
Sure you got a bodyguard and someone to watch your back 24 hours a day. But if you felt safe, that's important too, because, you know, everybody wants to take out the director, right?
Yeah. the only thing is that this director can take care of himself. That's the good thing.
Yeah, they don't realize that you're a black belt, that you're under Eric Lee. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you, what's in the future for R. Camacho? What are you doing next? What's the next project?
Well, right now, I'm actually two things. Number one, last year I published a book. Actually, Michael published it. It was kind of
about,
the.
Tell me about that.
It's semi biographical because he wanted to, for 5 years I had two different publishers approach me wanting to do a biography. I didn't want to do that. I never wanted to write a book. I didn't want to do none of that. Michael tricked me. He interviewed me for this program, and then he sent me the transcripts and said, "Hart, here's the book." And so I started cleaning it up, you know, and so we did this book, and the focus of it is called The Filmmaker's Journey. Why? Because I just wanted to focus on the key points that were turning points in my life that brought me to fulfilling my dreams in films. I was really pissed off, mad at Michael for doing this. I went in reluctantly. And then when he put my mug on the cover, I said, no way, no how. This is ridiculous, Mike. This is stupid. I hate that. Number one, I'm very self-conscious. But I said, you know, please change the cover. Let's throw a kick, throw a punch. I'll take pictures. I'll do whatever. And he insisted. So anyway, long story short is that we did the book. And then he orders, I don't know, maybe a couple hundred copies. And I was like even more mad because I go, my God, what are you, crazy? We're lucky if we sell three books, you know? And so fortunately, that wasn't the case. Fortunately, we almost sold out at Dragonfest when it came out. It was the first time it came out. And then I started getting all these private messages from different people who had the book, who had read it, and how it touched their lives. Then I started realizing that my story isn't unique to me. It's our story.
Cool.
It's everyone. We all go through this in life. It's just what we do with it. I mean, we all have our hardships and all that stuff. It's what we do with those hardships. Do we become bitter? Do we give up on our dreams? Or do we become more determined? You know, do we cry and then get it over with and keep going? And that's me.
Well, on the cover, your picture, you have your trademark sunglasses on.
Yeah.
How about your black leather jacket? You got your black leather jacket.
Yep.
On, your trademark leather jacket. Cool.
Yeah.
You know, when I go out, if I go out, you know, at night, and people say, why are you dressed like that? I say, I got my R. Camacho look, brother. You know. I do.
There
I just
look
like you sometimes. Absolutely.
That's good, buddy.
Well,
that's
cool that you've got new projects in the works and new things in the adventure.
Yeah,
and,
you know what? Also, another thing I'm doing really quick is that this year, actually, we're going to start off with a clothing line. We'll start off with T-shirts. Then I already have some people who want to do shoes. But the designs I'm making are all specific designs of empowerment. Like the first one we introduced briefly, you know, this year was called Bring It. And it has the American flag and has a image of myself. And it's a challenge. It's a challenge to life. It's like, you know what, give me your best shot. And I'm going to go down, but I'm going to get back up. And that's what it's about.
So you're creating a clothing line, Art? You're creating
yes.
a clothing
yes.
line?
Yes.
I was just kidding about the leather coat and the glasses, but that's cool.
that's coming.
That's cool. And now, let me ask you a question. You're going to have shoes and shirts? And
yeah, initially, like right now, we're starting, just briefly right now, we started with T-shirts. Because
wow.
I said, you know, let's start little. And we came up with a cool design that has been resonating. So we're going to start, you know, selling those this in the next month or so. And then I already got a company that wants to do athletic shoes and different clothes.
You know, I had a great idea one time. I was going to create a clothing line of shirts. And I said, well, how am I going to sell them? I know what I'll do. I'll put a $20 bill on every shirt. And then people, when they buy the shirt, they'll know they'll get $20. The only problem is I sold the shirt for $10.99, and that means I lost I lost all my money because, you know, I can't say I got smarter as I got older. So I lost a lot of $20 bills, put it that way. So, I'm just kidding. You know I'm just kidding, right?
I know.
So,
I know you.
Yeah.
Well,
I wish you luck on that. That's exciting that you're going to have a clothing line, and you're going to have, I'm sure you'll have your own page and everything. And that's what I'd like to do. If someone wants to get your book, how would they get your book, and where would they go to?
Facebook me your address. I want to send you a book. Also, one thing, I don't know if you noticed, but there was an order that's loosely affiliated with the Vatican, and believe it or not, I was knighted last year.
Wow.
Knighted.
That is cool.
How crazy is that?
So
you're
knight Art Camacho now.
Sir Art Camacho, brother.
Sir Art Camacho, that is cool.
That's funny. That is funny.
It's not funny. It's that's very cool.
But Gary, look at this. This little fat kid from the barrio, he gets knighted. He has a book. He has a clothing line. Done awards for films, martial arts. I'm living the dream, brother. I mean, I got nothing to complain about. Nothing to complain about, brother. God's been great to me, and I work hard, but God's been great to me, and part of my mission, I guess you could say, in life is to pay it forward, and I have. Without, you know, gosh, it's not about me anymore. It's about what we can do for others, seriously, at the end of the day.
Absolutely, and I said that earlier in the show, that when people are passionate about something, they'll always look to do it for other people and make it happen, and you certainly have. You know, as I'm sitting here, you know, in my office and I'm interviewing a good friend, and that's what you are, I think back to the years that I first met you. There was not a time that I never saw you at an event or an excursion that you did not smile, cordial, back even when you didn't really know me or know who I was going to do or what I was going to, you know, if I became anything. You didn't know me. And you treated me very kind, and that's something I always remember. You know, I'm cursed with a great memory.
Thank you, brother.
I never forget things. And
thank you, brother.
It means a lot to me that you remember the things that I accomplished and the things I'm doing. And
absolutely, brother.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. I mean, thank you. Seriously, I'm very serious. Thank you. Thank you. Seriously.
Well, you know, here's something that I'd like to do and just run it by you and maybe think about it. You know, to September the 28th and 29th, I'm doing the Power of Women, which is the honoring. I'm doing a women's symposium. And what I did was dangerously. I put together like 12 women, all American martial art women from all across the country, to form a committee or board to put together this women's symposium. And, you know, I've got some women who like, you know, not every guy is a director. I've got some women who are interested in getting involved with stunt work or directing. So here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to do an award in your name and honor you and call it the Sport Karate Museum Art Camacho. And help me with the name of it, and it'll recognize a woman, or next year I'll do a man, but this year since we're doing women, I'll recognize that woman for your, in other words, for what your work that you've done and the credibility as an ambassador. I'd like to do that this year and bring light
to
the work you've done and to the work that women would like to do in the film industry, whether it be stunt work. And, you know, I was pretty close to Cheryl Wheeler and some other stunt ladies, Christine Bannon Rodriguez, of course, and these women who stepped up to do stunt work. And so if you allow me to do that, I'll make that happen this year. And what you can do is you can actually help me nominate the first woman that we can give it to. The Art Camacho Award for movie, we won't call it movie direction. I don't know. Come up with a name for it. Besides your name. Maybe stunt work or I don't know, something cool. I'll call you or email you when I start putting it together and we'll add an official name to it. And if you have somebody from your area or anywhere in the country that you think deserves it first, the very first one, let me know, and I'll contact them, and we'll make it happen. Now,
wow.
I know
wow.
traveling,
awesome.
No traveling and stuff. You can't make a commitment to be there in September. But I certainly would like permission to do that, and that way, Mark Camacho will not only live forever, but will also be remembered for what you've done in the media industry. So I thought about
you
this
know,
a long time before I asked you. So
would
you allow me to do
number
that?
One, it would be an honor. Yes, absolutely, brother. And it's more for.
Well,
I'm excited. We have a
so
platform.
All my listeners brother. Out there are doing movies or stunt work or getting involved with the industry or involved with the industry. You're being looked at. Might be you might receive the very first Art Camacho Sport Karate Museum acknowledgement award. That'd be pretty
and,
cool.
And film. Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely, brother.
Yeah.
That would be such an honor. Such an honor, brother.
Well, think
God
of the name.
You.
I can
Thank
name
so
it, and I'll make it happen.
Yes.
And it's done because you know I'm excited. I'm excited about that.
Nice.
So
nice.
Absolutely.
Let's do it. Let's
so
do it,
what besides your film and what's the next project for 2018? What's absolutely on the list for you to do?
Right now, I got a film right now that I just actually today I just finished writing it. I gave it to my co-writer to polish it. This one we're probably going to shoot next month. We're trying to shoot it next month in Mexico. It's it deals with personal issues, loss and stuff like that. But of course, it's an action film. It's sort of like Taken. Remember Taken with Liam Neeson?
Yes.
It's something like that,
wow,
a film like that.
Wow.
Kind of cool. And actually, believe it or not, my Steve Eric Lee is going to be the producer on it.
Oh,
Eric Lee is
cool.
producing it. So I'm directing and writing it.
I want to ask you one more part-time question. When you look at a script, when you decide that you're going to direct this film and put your name on it as a director, what are some of the key points you have to see before you decide?
Well, here's the main thing. Give me an idea. The most important thing in any film is the character. The character or characters in the film. Because a lot of people think, you know, we're going to write a martial arts film or an action film. No, no, no. We write a human story. And if it's a human story that touches me on an emotional level, that's what I want to attach my name to. You know, it has to be that. I mean, you know, for instance, this film that I just wrote, it's about loss. This individual lost his daughter. She was kidnapped and he never found her. So he's going through that turmoil. It's been 3 years. He's living with that guilt and that angst that's eating him up. And this is his journey that we're dealing with. All the other things are incidental. The fighting, the shooting, all that stuff is fun. It's incidental. Like if you do a martial arts film, don't do a martial arts film. Do a film about a human incident that has martial arts in it. You know, do not do a martial arts film because you come out with chop socky BS. Make films about the human experience, and that's what really draws me as a director.
How many films do you have under your belt right now?
I mean, as a director, 22. As overall, probably about 60, 70 movies that I've worked on as a fight choreographer, stunt coordinator, and stunts.
Is there a day-by-day process, or do you have a goal to achieve so many within your frame of perfection?
No, you know, it's day by day. It's day by day. I mean,
day by
the last film, I just wrapped up. I wrapped up a film, believe it or not, like 4 days before Christmas. It was a film that came out of the blue. They called me in November. They said, Art, we have a film. We got to shoot right away. Would you be interested in doing the stunts on it? I said, you know, and they were good people, and I've worked with them before. So I said, absolutely. So I was out there in Mexico for like 4 weeks working with these great people up there.
It's kind of like fishing now because I fish a lot. You know, I bass fish for a living for 20 years. It's kind of like fishing. I mean, now that you're the big bait and you know you're going to catch big fish, you answer that phone because you never know who's going to call you. And you know that someone calls you, when they call you, they want the best because that's the caliber that what you do now. So
right.
I use scenarios, little brother. You know, that's what I do, and that's what I see. I see you being the very best and getting the big fish to bite. And is there a film that maybe you passed on that maybe you should have taken and that you feel sorry that you didn't take?
No, not really. But there are films that I came close to. Believe it or not, you know, I had Remember that film years ago? This is a funny experience. Big Mama's House?
Yes.
Years ago with Martin Lawrence. And they did sequels and stuff like that.
I remember, they
hired me for all intents and purposes up to the point where I was going to do the contract. Then a different producer came in, and there goes the job. You know, another film that I was almost on was called Warrior. I don't know if you remember that one. That came out a few years ago. It's kind of a mixed martial arts film. A great Red Belt movie,
Warrior.
Next to Red, about the same time as Red Belt, but it was called Warrior.
Okay.
They had called me, the first producers called me up, they gave me the script, we talked, and I was close to doing that, and at the last minute, they, you know, different producers came in, and they went in a different direction. But that's the nature of the beast, you know? That's the nature of the beast. You have different opportunities.
I've got an ignorant question, just again for my listeners. Are you on contract? Do you have your own company? How does Art Camacho get hired out? I'm just curious.
Basically networking. People, I'm not under contract.
Okay.
I'm pretty much a freelancer, independent contractor.
Okay.
You know?
You're running. Masterless
Samurai.
That's it. Yeah. You're a good running, though. I like you. I think you're a good, cool running. Yeah, absolutely. Listen, I got to thank you again for spending time with me and, you know, just share with me your history. And it's fascinating to know that you started in you know, sport karate and working in kung fu and working your way up to be a class A director for the industry known as Hollywood. How cool is that? Now, I got to ask one more question because I've always wanted to ask you this. You could have went to anything. You went to drama. Well, you do drama, but you chose action film. Is there a reason why you chose action films?
You know, it chose me. I didn't choose action films, believe it or not. They chose me. I mean, that's the way life came at me, you know?
Okay.
I was very, very blessed. That's the thing about sometimes in life and you know, in my life, I can't speak for anybody else, but we have all the best plans. I have all these plans for the next year, and I can do everything according to my script, according to what my plans are. And God comes in and he changes everything on you. And he says, Art,
yes, he does.
This is what you're going to do. Not what you think you're going to do. This is what you are going to do. That's the way life has been, man.
Praise the Lord for being a part of our lives and giving us guidance.
Yes.
And thank you again for being
on
tonight's show. I thank you so much, Art, for your time and your sharing your incredible history with the Masters, Pioneers, and Legends show. And this will be on tomorrow morning and also be put in the archives. And I wish you a blessed year and success in anything and everything you do. And I'll see you soon, brother. It's been
thank
long.
You. And
it's
we will, brother.
Each other.
And don't forget,
and
do me a favor. Email me your mailing address. I want to get a book out to you this week.
I sure will. And thank you so much for being on tonight's show. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you.
Everyone,
God bless your listeners.
Yes. Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, we had Art Camacho on tonight. Thank you so much for being here tonight. And we're looking forward to our show next weekend. We'll be the great Alan Goldberg talking about the martial arts action extravaganza and the incredible things. And a big shout out to Mr. Goldberg to say thank you. Thank you for our award that you're giving to the radio show. And thank you for letting us be a part of your Tuesday night. So that said, we'll see you next Tuesday, 9:30 Eastern Standard Time, Texas Time, 8:30, 7:30 Mountain Time, and 6:30 Pacific. Thank you again, Art Camacho. Love you with all my heart, buddy.
Thanks.
See you guys next week.
God bless you.
Aloha.
Hi, it's Joe Corley with a quick offer for all of our friends here at the AMAA. As you know, we never get a second chance at our first impression. So for those of you who could use some help with your first impression on your Facebook pages, on Instagram, and on your website, we're offering a special discount here from our Social Media Marketing Warriors team. Take a note if you can and check Facebook at Joe Corley's Social Media Marketing Warriors page. Take a quick look at some of our videos, then reach out to me on Messenger and I'll be happy to put together a personalized sample video for you so you can see what the high definition video will look like online. That's Joe Corley's Social Media Marketing Warriors, and in your message mention AMAA discount. I look forward to speaking soon. All the best.